Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We have a level 2 and 3 risk for severe storms for tomorrow. It's a WRAL weather alert day, but I'll show you why we may end up seeing some changes to our forecast coming up in the next hour.
We have breaking news. We're following this noon. An Edgecombe County school employee faces criminal charges after deputies say a woman died following an assault. We'll sort out what we've learned in a live report.
Also, the Chinese Lantern Festival is closing early this season. How storm damage prompted organizers to make the tough decision.
Tomorrow is a weather alert day here at WRAL. Strong storms are likely to bring wind damage late in the day. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at what we can expect. And Elizabeth, you keep getting new information to fine-tune this forecast.
We were talking earlier this morning about the fact that it was looking less and less likely that we would have a lot of widespread severe storms. This is not likely to be a repeat of what we saw Tuesday, but we are likely to have some scattered storms that could produce some wind damage and cause some power outages. Trees could fall on houses and cars during the evening. The timeline likely to start somewhere around 5 o'clock and last till around midnight, moving west to east across the viewing area. Right now, we're under a level 2 and 3 risk for severe storms, but it's possible that the Storm Prediction Center would drop us out of that level 3 risk, likely to stay at level 2. Damaging wind would be our biggest threat, but we're likely to have a small chance for tornadoes out of the system. It just doesn't look very beefy out there right now, which is great news. There is a little bit of snow associated with the system. As it continues to drop southward, it will pick up some moisture from the Gulf of Mexico and bring it our way, but we're not talking about nearly the amount of rain that we saw on Tuesday. We saw 1.5 to 2.5 inches Tuesday. Right now, we're looking at an average of 0.5 inch. So a big, big difference there. The timing of this, a much shorter duration, around the same timeline, but it just won't last as long. So it's not likely to cause as much damage as we saw on Tuesday. Around 1:30, we start to see the clouds thickening up tomorrow. It'll be cloudy at 3 o'clock. Around 5 o'clock, we start to see some showers and possible thunderstorms beginning to move in. There's 6 o'clock. 7 o'clock, we'll pause it there. Now, some of these cells that you can see in the yellow and orange could end up being severe. Those could cause some wind damage. Of course, we could have some power outages and maybe a small chance of some flooding. By the time we get to 9 o'clock, that's the back edge. That's the end of it. That tends to be with a line of thunderstorms, sometimes the strongest. So we could have some of the strongest storms during the evening hours up until around midnight. It's also going to be a windy day. You remember how windy it was on Tuesday? We're going to see our winds really starting to get cranked up during the evening with some gusts up to 40, 45 miles per hour. We'll talk more about what else to expect. I'll show you some of those rainfall potential totals coming up.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Right now, we get back to the breaking news out of Edgecombe County. In the past 20 minutes, we've learned a school employee is off the job and in jail, facing charges connected to an assault that led to a woman's death. WRAL's Destiny Patterson is following these developments. And Destiny, I understand you just received a lot of details on this case.
That's right. We just got all of these details within the last 20 minutes. As you mentioned, we've learned that Donald Lanier is an employee for Edgecombe County Schools. And on the district website, it lists that he is a school counselor here. He's being charged with assault to cause bodily injury as well as driving while impaired. The Chowan Sheriff's Office says there was an assault at a home on Tuesday, and the female victim in that was taken to the ICU and died today at the ECU Health Medical Center in Greenville. At this point, we're still working to learn more about what happened there. The district spokesperson tells us that Lanier was actually already on leave since January 4th due to some prior concerns. And the sheriff's office says that they plan to bring more charges for Lanier. Jeff.
Destiny Patterson in Edgecombe County right now with that update. Thank you.
An abrupt end to a local holiday festival. Just a few hours ago, organizers made the difficult decision to end the Chinese Lantern Festival at Cocobooth Amphitheater 5 days early. WRAL's Monica Casey joins us live now from the Cary venue with how those who got tickets in advance can get a refund. Monica.
Yeah, Renee, if you have tickets for this festival, keep an eye on your email today. That's where organizers say you'll get directions on how to get a refund. We are at the entrance right now of this festival, and you can see just how big it truly is. This is the 8th season for this event, and attendance has grown every year. Sky 5 flew over some of this damage yesterday. There wasn't any damage to the venue itself here. Organizers had originally planned planned to reopen last night, but it became clear there was more severe damage than they had originally thought. A spokesperson tells us one of the largest lanterns, the Dragon Boat on the lake, was damaged. In a statement, organizers say the engineers found the repairs could not be done in time for the conclusion. This festival was originally scheduled to end this Sunday. It will return on November 22nd of this year with all new lanterns. Renee?
Tough way to end an impressive run, but nice to hear that it will be back again later this year. Monica Casey, thank you. So that festival centerpiece that Monica mentioned, the Dragon Boat, this is what it looked like at night. My family and I had a chance to see the larger-than-life displays last November. Now, in previous years, organizers had to cancel on certain days because of bitter cold or severe weather, but never because of significant damage to the lanterns. And there's more rough weather to come tomorrow. You can plan for it with the WRAL News app. It allows you to watch radar in real time to see when storms are in your area. Be sure to have the WRAL News app installed on your phone. Turn on alerts to get notified about severe weather in your location. It's free wherever you download your apps.
Fayetteville police are searching for two people, two different cars, who hit a man on a busy road and then drove away. It happened on Bragg Boulevard near Fort Bragg Road around midnight. This is video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker as police investigated. 59-year-old Rex Smith is the man who was killed. Police in Hillsborough are looking for this man. They say he assaulted an officer and then dragged that officer as he drove away in an SUV. This happened at the Sheets on NC 86 in Hillsborough Wednesday afternoon. It started when the officer confronted the man inside the store about stealing. The officer, who was hurt, was taken to the hospital with minor injuries. The man was last seen headed toward Durham on I-85. Anyone with information should call police.
Now to the countdown to the Iowa caucuses. Just hours before Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis faced off last night in a one-on-one debate in Iowa, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie dropped out of the Republican primary race. Garrett Hake has the blow-by-blow debate.
Overnight, a fiery face-off in frozen Iowa, with the state's Republican caucuses now just 4 days away.
You're
put our
so
own people
desperate.
First. We
You're
have
just
to put
so
Governor,
desperate.
Governor
Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis debating one-on-one in what's likely a race for second place behind the dominant frontrunner here, Donald Trump. Haley and DeSantis launching repeated attacks on each other's records and honesty.
Every time he lies, Drake University, don't turn this into a drinking game because you will be overserved by the end of the night.
We don't need another mealy-mouthed politician who just tells you what she thinks you want to hear just to try to get your vote.
Haley mocking DeSantis for his campaign slide from top Trump rival as her momentum has grown in polls.
If you can't manage a campaign, how are you going to manage a country?
DeSantis belittling Haley's work as UN ambassador, labeling her as a globalist.
You can take the ambassador out of the United Nations, but you can't take the United Nations out of the ambassador.
Despite trailing Trump in Iowa and nationally, both candidates barely criticizing him.
I agree with a lot of his policies, but his way is not my way.
He also promised record deportations. Donald Trump deported fewer people than Barack Obama did when he was president.
Earlier Wednesday, the GOP field's most consistent critic of the former president, Chris Christie, announced he was suspending his long shot campaign.
Anyone who is unwilling to say that he is unfit to be president of the United States is unfit themselves to be president of the United States.
Christie was also caught on a hot mic backstage discussing the race.
DeSantis called me, petrified.
And making this comment, presumably about Haley.
She's going to get smoked, and you and I both know it. She's not up to this.
Skipping the debate in favor of a Fox News town hall, Donald Trump seizing on that comment.
I happen to believe that Chris Christie is right. That's one of the few things he's been right about, actually.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, Vice President Kamala Harris is in North Carolina. We actually just saw her get off the plane about 10 minutes ago. She is here to discuss the Biden administration's efforts to reduce gun violence. A roundtable discussion will happen at 2 o'clock today. She'll be joined by educators, counselors, parents, gun safety advocates, and local and state leaders. The U.S. Secretary of Education will also be there. This is Vice President Harris's ninth visit to North Carolina.
President Biden met with the sister of former U.S. Marine Paul Whelan. He spent 5 years in Russian detention on espionage charges. The president, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, and Whelan's sister Elizabeth talked about the administration's ongoing efforts to secure Paul's release. He denounced the fact that he was not included in the 2022 prisoner swaps that freed detained Americans Trevor Reed and WNBA star Brittany Griner. U.S. officials say Russia refused to include Whelan in those swaps.
Taking a look at stocks this noon, the last inflation report of the year came out, and inflation jumped just a bit in December. You can see it's having an effect on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. It started in positive territory, but certainly not there now. It is down 216 points as we stand right now, and the NASDAQ is down 131 points this noon. S&P 500 down 40 points. Next at noon, new information coming out of the October Lewiston, Maine mass shooting that killed 18 people. What a friend of the killer told authorities before that tragedy.
Also, an intense rescue after a car crash in Florida. Who was inside the vehicle as it was sinking?
Plus, investigating how a door blew out of a Boeing jet mid-flight. What the company's CEO is saying about the quality control breakdown.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
October 25th marked the worst mass shooting in the state of Maine. A gunman killed 18 people. Marianne Rafferty reports a friend says he warned authorities a month before that tragedy.
We're learning new information surrounding the worst mass shooting in Maine's history. To Sean Hodgson, Robert Card was his best friend of 17 years. But over time, Hodgson says Card struggled with worsening bouts of anger and paranoia and feared what his fellow Army reservist might be capable of under those circumstances.
He was deteriorating in his mental health, and he refused to get help.
In a series of texts to an Army supervisor back in September, Hodgson wrote in part, quote, change the passcode to the unit gate and be armed if SFC Card does arrive. Please, I believe he's messed up in the head. I believe he's going to snap and do a mass shooting.
I was actually praying and hoping to God my text would not come true.
6 weeks after those messages, Card entered a bar and bowling alley in the town of Lewiston, where he killed 18 people before leading police on a manhunt. Card's body was eventually discovered in a trailer at a recycling plant. Police say he died from an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound.
And that was the most difficult thing I ever had to do, was to report him to command. And for them to discredit me,
Hodgson believes his warning should have been taken more seriously. An independent review done for law enforcement called Hodgson an alarmist. The Army says pending investigations mean they can't comment.
That was Marianne Rafferty reporting. Hodgson wasn't the only one concerned. In May, the shooter's relatives told police they worried about his mental health and access to guns. And in August, the Army barred Card from handling weapons while on duty.
And right now in the WRAL Live Center, we want to take you live out to RDU. We are learning this afternoon TSA firearm discoveries at airport checkpoints in North Carolina are down overall for the second consecutive year. I do have the numbers here to show you. Despite the overall decrease, though, Charlotte Douglas International, they saw a record 124 last year. That's compared to 117 in 2022. As far as Raleigh-Durham, they saw 76 last year compared to 74. In 2022.
Michelle, thanks. Family and friends of a Greensboro police officer who was shot and killed while trying to stop a crime are together today for his farewell. The service for Sergeant Dale Nix is this afternoon. WRAL's Brian Schrader is here now. And Brian, law enforcement officers from all over the country are expected to attend.
Renee, people have been sharing their tributes to Sergeant Nix this morning. The Guilford County Sheriff's Office posted a picture in the past hour that you'll see here. And right now, people are getting ready for the service. There's that picture that the sheriff's office posted in the past hour. I want to show you some new video from Greensboro that we have received here in the newsroom. A caisson will bring Nix's body to the church. That service starts at 2 p.m. and it will end with a 21-gun salute outside the church after the service. Sergeant Nix died Saturday, December 30th, when he tried to stop a group of people stealing beer from a convenience store. Nix saw the crime happening, and when he approached one of the people involved, Nix was shot and killed. Police caught up with those suspects later in Winston-Salem. Today's service is open to the public, and we're expecting Nix's family to share a statement after this afternoon ceremony. Renee?
No doubt it'll be an emotional day for all of them. Brian, thank you.
We're getting our first look at intense video of a car crash rescue in Florida.
Is the baby above water?
Yeah, baby's breathing.
Watch your eyes. Let's get the baby out.
I know.
Deputies and firefighters responded to that scene 3 minutes after receiving the 911 call. They found the baby's grandfather outside the car with a woman and a baby inside the vehicle as it sank into a water-filled ditch. Thanks to some quick work, everyone was pulled out safely.
Due to the actions of the deputies and the fire department, they survived this crash. So, you know, it could have had a very different outcome and a tragic start to 2024, but instead it had really a remarkable and happy ending.
And the grandmother and grandchild were treated at a hospital. That crash has been turned over to Florida Highway Patrol.
It's a big weekend for the NFL, and we have several playoff games. At 4:30 on Saturday, the Cleveland Browns play the Houston Texans on WREL. Wildcard weekend continues Sunday. At 4:30, the Green Bay Packers travel to Dallas to play the Cowboys on Fox 50. Then at 8, the Detroit Lions host the Los Angeles Rams on WREL. The NFL is taking some heat over one of the other games. The Dolphins and Chiefs game will be streamed live on Peacock. It's the first NFL playoff game to air exclusively on a streaming service. And there's no option for NBC affiliates like WREL to carry the game. You will need to sign up for Peacock to watch it. For help signing up, or if you want to register a comment, you can go to WREL.com.
The Dolphins-Chiefs game is the one we talked about earlier this week. Mm-hmm. Kansas City being as cold as it's ever been at kickoff, maybe 0 degrees out there.
Oh, you know people want to watch that.
Exactly. Elizabeth Gardner is over in the WRL Severe Weather Center. That's the system that's moving our way as well.
Yeah, boy, we're going to see some really cold air next week, potentially. And we'll talk more about that starting tomorrow. We're going to really focus on what happens tomorrow. Our severe weather threat, a level 2 risk for most of us. We still have this level 3 risk that's down in our southern counties. It includes the southern part of Cumberland County, most of Hoke County, and parts of Warren County. But there is word, potentially, that when the Storm Prediction Center, who issues these advisories, comes out with their new update at 12:30, that they're going to push this even farther south and out of our viewing area. So check back in with us in the 12:30 half hour. We may have some updates to our severe weather threat. No matter what, it does not look like it will be as widespread or as strong as what we saw on Tuesday. But damaging winds are still a possibility. Let's take a look at where that storm is. It's coming across the country right now. Very little moisture associated with it. And that will be the case even after it passes by the Gulf of Mexico and picks up some of that moisture. We're still looking at an average of about half an inch with this system. It's likely to be clear for tomorrow morning. Shouldn't have to worry about anything during the morning commute. We don't really cloud up until around lunchtime. And then it's not likely until, say, around 5 or 6 o'clock that we start to see some of the rain. And we'll have a window here of opportunity where severe storms are certainly a good possibility. Mostly straight line winds. Straight line winds can do as much damage as a weak tornado. So we can once again have some trees that fall, you know, potentially on to houses or cars or power lines that cause some problems for us during the evening. Here's 7 o'clock, and you can see a few of those cells developing. There's a greater chance as we get into the later evening that we would have cells that could produce damage. At 9 o'clock, we're seeing a broken line moving into our western counties. At 10 o'clock, it's moving through our central counties. And by 11 o'clock into midnight, it's moving on out. That line on the models, anyway, doesn't look anything like what we saw on Tuesday, where we had a double line coming through that was much wider, much more intense, a lot more more rain and energy along with it. So certainly we'll have the potential for some scattered to isolated severe storms, but it won't be as widespread as what we saw on Tuesday. Now, it is going to be a windy day. Remember, Tuesday was windy. Even before the thunderstorms really get cranked up, we could see winds gusting 30 to 40, even 45 miles per hour once we get past sunset. Because of the rain that we saw on Tuesday, we're still dealing with some flooding issues. The Neuse River at Smithfield and the Tar River at Lewisburg are at minor flood stage today. The Tar River at Tarboro will hit minor flood stage over the weekend. In all of these cases, the rivers are going to be coming up close to the parks in those towns and potentially creating some minor flooding in those parks that are along the rivers. So just be careful there. This is a welcome sight to see because of the rain. We only have a few of our counties, just a sliver there of abnormally dry conditions. This is the driest drought monitor that we've seen since the middle of August. And so finally, the rain that we've seen over the last month or so has paid off. So we're getting out of that drought situation. Fayetteville is looking bright with a few clouds this afternoon, 51 degrees right now. We're going to climb into the upper 50s this afternoon. Right now it's 48 in Roxboro, and we're looking at low 50s across the area. Should be a pleasant afternoon with temperatures in the mid to upper 50s and plenty of sunshine. Of course, tomorrow is a WRAL weather alert day. It's going to be a warm day. The warmest temperatures will come in actually late in the day at 64, and then we get into the holiday weekend and it looks quiet. We do have a chance of some scattered showers on Tuesday. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more about what we're expecting, and of course, we'll have another check to see if they've changed our status for severe storms at 12:30.
All right, sounds good, Elizabeth. Thanks. Researchers at Duke are working on a flu vaccine that can protect against all strains, and you'd only need it once every couple of years. Ahead on our news at 5, WRAL's health reporter Grace Haba takes you inside the research and when testing on the vaccine could begin.
And at 5:30, millions of dollars in federal funding will help pay for electric vehicle chargers across our state, where they're going and how many they'll install in the next 5 years. Meantime, still ahead this noon, Snapchat introduces a new measure meant to protect children from inappropriate or harmful content. The changes meant to help parents supervise teens.
YouTube is making it easier to find credible first aid related videos, the keywords that will help you find the assistance you need.
Welcome back this noon. Get ready for the double Big Mac for a limited time. And Amazon is cutting more jobs. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Amazon is cutting hundreds of jobs at its video game streaming platform and TV and movie units. The layoffs affect workers at Twitch, Prime Video, and Amazon's MGM Studios. The move is aimed at cutting costs and focusing on content that delivers the most impact for Amazon. At Twitch alone, 500 workers are being let go. No word on how many jobs will be eliminated at Prime Video or MGM Studios. Another sign of how Taylor Swift dominated the music business last year, one in every 78 audio streams in the U.S. was a Taylor Swift song in 2023. This is according to entertainment data firm Luminate. In all, the company reported there were 1.2 trillion on-demand audio streams in the U.S. for the year. That was almost 13% more than the year before. McDonald's is bringing back the Double Big Mac for a limited time. It features four beef patties along with more Big Mac sauce, pickles, lettuce, and chopped onions. McDonald's briefly sold the Double Big Mac in March of 2020, but the pandemic disrupted that as restaurants reduced menu offerings. The price for the hefty burger is determined by each location and may vary. You'll be able to order the Double Big Mac starting Wednesday, January 24th. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aper at the NASDAQ Market Site.
I'll stick with the McChicken. Despite recent improvements from federal funding, the IRS still has several issues to overcome. A new report by a watchdog says the IRS is still facing a backlog in tax returns and an increase in ID theft cases. According to the report, delays in helping identify theft victims last about 19 months, and a backlog on returns have quadrupled from 2019 to last October. The watchdog says the agency responds to about 35% of its calls, despite claims that it answers 85% of its calls. Parents can now decide whether to allow their teens to interact with Snapchat's chatbot. The change will mean that if parents opt to turn off the tool, teens can message My AI, but the chatbot will respond only with a note that it's been disabled. Snapchat will also now offer parents visibility into their teens' safety and privacy settings in the Family Center. A parent can see who their child shares their stories with, who is able to contact their child, and whether their child is sharing their location on the app's live Snap Map feature.
Next at noon, we hear directly from the CEO of Boeing, who is now promising to find out where the communication breakdown occurred in that in-air explosion involving one of their 737s last week.
And we're looking live at Pinehurst, where in 150 days, the U.S. Open returns to North Carolina. Coming up, we sit down with the head of the Convention and Visitors Bureau about preparations and what fans need to know.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, following some news out of Long Island this afternoon, a bomb squad was called to the home of the judge that is presiding over former President Donald Trump's civil fraud case. Police were called to the man's home on Long Island, Judge Arthur Engoron. It is unclear if he was home at the time, but the threat came hours before closing arguments in the trial were scheduled to begin. Closing arguments did proceed, but this all comes yesterday. There was a tense email exchange between Judge Engoron and Trump's attorney over whether he should speak at the closing arguments. Judge Engoron rejected that request.
The CEO of Boeing is promising to find out where quality control broke down as the NTSB and FAA investigates that mid-air explosion involving a Boeing MAX 9 last Friday. Here's NBC senior correspondent Tom Costello.
Once again, Boeing is fighting for its reputation. 6 days after the side of an Alaska Airlines MAX 9 blew out in flight, forcing an emergency landing, CEO David Calhoun told employees airline confidence in Boeing is on the line.
Moments like this shake them to the bone, just like it shook me.
In a CNBC exclusive, Calhoun says he takes this accident very personally.
I saw the picture. Everybody saw the opening. But what I really saw was the empty seat. And I had spent a week with my kids and grandkids, and so enough said.
Out of pure luck, no one was seated next to the hull when it opened up. It's been 5 years since 346 people died in two MAX 8 crashes overseas. The MAX 8 was then grounded for 2 years, Boeing forced to pay $2.5 billion in fines and settlements. But Boeing has struggled with quality control. This MAX 9 was brand new, delivered in November, yet with a potentially fatal flaw. Investigators believe the door plug that blew out wasn't properly secured. The NTSB says four critical bolts have not been found. It's not clear if the bolts were ever attached. When Alaska and United Airlines technicians examined other MAX 9s, they found loose bolts around those door plugs, too. The fuselage for the MAX is made by Wichita-based Spirit AeroSystems, then delivered to Boeing for final assembly.
We're not going to point fingers there because, yes, it escaped their factory, but then it escaped ours, too.
Spirit has also struggled with quality control problems, but says, as a company, we remain focused on the quality of each aircraft structure that leaves our facilities. Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg.
Are you concerned about the quality of product that Boeing is turning out, and should the American public be concerned?
What I'll say is that every plane that they deliver to an airline, every plane that goes into the skies needs to be 100% safe, and they need to be able to demonstrate that.
That was Tom Costello reporting. Pressure is also growing in Washington as lawmakers weigh whether to hold hearings over this issue.
Monday marks 15 years since the miracle on the Hudson. That emergency landing made Captain Sully Sullenberger a household name. A lot of folks will never forget the image of that U.S. Airways jet floating on the Hudson River, passengers being rescued from the frigid water. The aircraft hit a flock of birds taking off from LaGuardia Airport, heading for Charlotte. 15 years later, Sully is reflecting on the moment he and his co-pilot realized a water landing was their only option.
Was there a part of you that thought, this could really go sideways pretty quickly? Or did you think immediately, I'm going to do it. This is going to work. I'm going to save these lives?
The latter. I mean, my definition of success was complete, absolute. But I was confident that if I could keep the airplane intact and land in a way that people didn't get hurt during the landing, it would float long enough for us to be rescued.
And he was right. Five people did get hurt, but all 155 passengers and crew survived that emergency landing on the Hudson River January 15th, 2009.
We've learned the name of one of the people found dead in Raleigh this week. Police were called to a reported suicide threat on Tollington Drive around 9 Tuesday night. Their investigation led them to Plaza Place, about 10 miles away. There, they found a man dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound, along with a woman also shot to death. The woman's brother reached out to WREL, confirming his sister, Liliana Concha Perez, was the woman who was killed. She leaves behind two children and a grandchild. So far, we don't know how or whether she and the man knew each other. Police say they are not looking for any suspects.
At this hour, local leaders are hearing input on the future of the fastest growing part of Wake County. Newly released plans involve the area surrounding the NC 540 loop in the southeastern part of the county. Here's Kelsey Coffey.
Right now, people are weighing in on plans for the lower Neuse area, and we're on US 70 and Guy Road and Garner. That's a part of the area that they're discussing right now. Let's give you a look at a map now so you can get a look at the bigger picture. This area borders Knightdale, Wendell, and Johnston County. It also includes parts of Raleigh and Garner. This is the fastest growing part of Wake County. Around 17,000 people live there, according to county documents. The Lower Neuse plan is about re-envisioning the future of that area, evaluating what homes, streets, and buildings will look like decades from now. County staff will put their final touches on plans for this area once they get the feedback from today, and the county's planning board will review all of that next month. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News in Garner.
Durham leaders are looking for your thoughts on how the city's upcoming budget should be prioritized. A community conversation on the budget is planned tonight from 6 to 8. It's happening at the Holmes Rec Center on South Alston Avenue. Two more forums are planned for January 20th and 23rd. There will also be a virtual meeting on January 30th. Today is Human Trafficking Awareness Day. State government buildings will be lit up in blue and state employees are wearing blue. Human Trafficking Awareness Day falls on January 11th each year. North Carolina consistently ranks within the top 10 states in the nation for human trafficking. To show support for change, state employees are encouraged to wear blue and share selfies as part of the national hashtag Wear Blue campaign.
You can learn life-saving skills on YouTube. How the platform is promoting credible videos explaining what to do during a health emergency.
And now that we're in winter, less time in the sun means less vitamin D. How you can make up for it in the foods you eat. If you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, click report it in the WRL News app.
Black people in the United States experience strokes more frequently and at younger ages compared to white people. Researchers looked at stroke trends for more than two decades. The rate of stroke among black people was roughly 50% to 80% higher than the rate among white people. The study also revealed strokes are happening at younger ages for both black and white people, but black people experience them nearly 10 years younger than white people. YouTube is making it easier to find credible first aid related videos. The video sharing platform plans to promote step-by-step explainer videos in search results. When a user's search includes keywords like seizure, choking, or stroke, select videos will be pinned to the top of the search. Tutorials will cover how to do CPR, perform the Heimlich maneuver, and identify a heart attack.
Getting vitamin D during the winter time might be tough for some, but health experts say others might just have a deficiency. Less exposure to the sun can lead to a lack of vitamin D. But foods like salmon and mushrooms are full of the vitamin and could help balance the lack of sunlight. Lack of the vitamin could lead to bone issues and memory damage. Babies and people over the age of 65 are more at risk for the deficiency. Americans experienced more struggles getting to sleep last year. A recent survey found that 37% of Americans slept somewhat or way worse in 2023 compared to earlier years. The findings come as data from Google Trends reveals that searches for the word sleep reached a record number high last year.
After the break, we are joined by the president and CEO of the Pinehurst Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. In just 150 days, tens of thousands of people will flock to North Carolina for the U.S. Open. I'll ask him how the area is preparing.
And love them or hate them, they're still around and coming out with new flavors. The brand new Peeps Easter flavor lineup still ahead.
Welcome back this noon. This is a live look, Pinehurst Resort and Country Club right now as you watch WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. And we show you this beautiful shot many, many times, very often. But today there's a special reason. And if you like countdowns, we are cheersing the 150 days until the U.S. Open begins in Pinehurst, and preparations are only going to move faster now. So joining us as we ramp up, Phil Wirz, President, CEO of the Pinehurst Southern Pines Aberdeen Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. Phil, thanks so much for joining us. What should people know at this point from the CVB perspective before they get down there?
Well, first of all, thanks, Jeff. And you said it, 150 days. And as we like to say here in Pinehurst, it's a beautiful day in Pinehurst. It's only going to get better the next 150 days. Things are starting to happen already. We're seeing a net going up on Maniac Hill, the driving range. There'll be more infrastructure over the next 150 days. But I think what we want to get across to people right now is tickets will sell out. So go to usga.org, buy your tickets, and then you want to find your accommodations because they are already limited. We have a special landing page for people so they can check out not only accommodations in Moore County, which are limited, not just hotels, but short-term rentals are being rented as well in preparation for this huge global event where we expect a quarter of a million people here for the entire week. So you want to go to homeofgolf.com/USOpen2024, and you can find out a lot more information about the event and accommodations, not only here, but out of market.
Yeah, I'm seeing that whole list there of out of market. Folks are going to stretch. We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. Breaking news out of Edgecombe County. In the last hour, we have learned a school employee is off the job and in jail, facing charges connected to an assault that led to a woman's death. Donald Lanier is listed as a school counselor on the district website. The sheriff's office says they're expecting more charges for Lanier.
Fayetteville police are searching for two people who hit a man on a busy road and drove away. It happened on Bragg Boulevard near Fort Bragg Road around midnight. This is video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker as police investigated. 59-year-old Rex Smith was killed by a car. We are working to learn any additional information about suspects connected to this case.
Just a few hours ago, organizers made the decision to end the Chinese Lantern Festival at Cocobooth Amphitheater 5 days early due to damage from the recent storm. If you have tickets for this festival in the coming days, keep an eye on your email today. That's where event organizers say you'll receive instructions on how to get a refund.
Love them or hate them, Peeps are back this Easter, and this year you'll have four new flavors to choose from. The candy brand announced its Easter 2024 lineup, which includes Rice Krispies treats, icy blue raspberry flavored, sour strawberry flavor, and Peeps Delight S'mores graham cracker flavored marshmallow chicks dripped in milk chocolate. That one.
Today, we're featuring a pair of marvelous kitties in our Pet of the Day segment, Iron Man and Falcon, 9-year-old best friends looking for a home together. These two boys are extremely bonded to one another. They are likely brothers who have lived together all their lives. They're so close that if they get separated, they cry out for each other. Both have medical conditions fairly common to cats. These can be transmitted to other cats, though, so they'd be best suited as the only cats in their new home. For more information about adoption, please stop by Per Cup or visit spcawake.org.
If your team didn't make the playoffs, you may want to root for the Baltimore Ravens or Philadelphia Eagles to win it all. Popeyes is giving away free wings if an NFL team with a winged mascot wins the Super Bowl. It's also tossing the Buffalo Bills into the mix because of the Buffalo Wings connection. If those teams win, customers can get a free 6-piece order of wings with any online or in-app purchase. It'll only be available for 2 days after the game on February 13th. NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Good day.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.